The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with John Gilroy of Lectromech, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts about some of the IT trends and challenges facing agencies and industry. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Clark Campbell, Vice President, Public Sector at BDNA. Good afternoon, Clark. How are you?
I am well, sir. Good afternoon to you.
Great, great, great. I was reading about this subject called FITARA. I do a lot of interviews on FITARA, and I'm reading this person and that person. I read the stuff that Jason Miller writes on Federal News Radio, and I stumbled on an article that Clark Campbell wrote, and I said, this guy seems to have a good grasp of what's going on here. And the article is titled, Why FITARA Can Succeed Where Klinger Cohen Failed. And this is just another way to slice and dice this topic of FITARA, maybe dig a little deeper into what FITARA is trying to accomplish, why it's accomplishing it, how it's used in perspective with other attempts to improve the whole idea of federal information technology. And so try to get you in the studio, Clark, to find out more about what your company can do to help my listeners. I mean, if all my listeners are subject to understanding FITARA and complying with it, then if you can, we can toss them a bone, maybe a lifesaver, maybe a blog or something, or maybe some kind of a software package that can help them achieve the goals of FITARA, then we've accomplished something. But before we begin, tell us about your background and how you wound up working for this company, please.
Well, thank you, sir. I actually ended up at BDNA after spending a decade at Oracle, where I ran, when I was leaving there, the Army and Air Force business. And I left a perfectly good job there because I kept getting asked a question about how much Oracle is deployed across the Army or the Air Force. And I, of course, didn't know necessarily all the ways that it was being bought through resellers, through the Lockheed Martins, the Raytheons of the world, CSCs, and so forth. And there I was like, you're the database company. You should be able to tell us. Well, there was a couple of Oracle people, including my former boss, who had left to go to BDNA about 2 years previously. And when I learned that BDNA could not only tell our clients or the companies in the government what their Oracle footprint is, but every single hardware and software vendor on the planet, I decided that was something that was definitely needed across the government. So after 10 years at a perfectly good company like Oracle, I spent the last 10 years at BDNA, where I started up the federal practice of where we help the federal government better understand their IT estate. It's a unique solution that now leverages the existing assets that the federal government has, whether it be the CDM tools, whether it be their configuration, patch management, security, discovery tools, that then allows people for us to consume that information and provide better information across their IT estate to help them make the decisions, which what FITARA is driving. And if you're not familiar with BDNA, to date, we now have 48 sole source awards across federal, given the unique solution that we offer.
Yeah, when I read your article, I said, BDNA, must be a biology company. I said, BDNA, well, it's got something to do, obviously, with HHS and Dr. Francis Collins up there, but it's nothing to do. Maybe it's looking at the DNA of your network, huh? Is that the origin of the name of the company?
It is business DNA is what it stands for. But yes, that does cause some confusion sometimes. But it's about the understanding the business and the data that's inside an organization, commercial or government, of their IT estate.
So funny that I met Francis Collins when he was walking out of a studio with a guitar. This is a guy with a PhD in a medical degree. He runs NIH and he has all kinds of different medical degrees. So DNA, so if we apply this to a physical set of networks or servers, so you can use the tools that you provide just to figure out what's in what data center where. Is that a good summary of that or much
yes,
more detailed than that?
So there's no lack of tools that are pulling the information from data centers or across the networks in the federal government. These tools that they may be very good in their swim lanes of providing security or configuration patch management, what they don't do is necessarily allow organizations to understand what product or manufacturers they are. So, for example, Microsoft Corporation will show up named 20 different ways by the different CDM tools. Microsoft projects will be named 40 different ways. And let alone trying to track the acquisitions of my aforementioned company, Oracle, who's acquired 80 different companies over the last 10 years. When you try to roll that up and do strategic sourcing, when you try to roll that up and figure out what your footprint is so you can do cost savings, it becomes a manual process that is just untenable. So the ability to do that and then enrich it with the catalog that we call Technopedia, that is comprehensive of over 1.2 million hardware and software products, and then has market data points that includes current manufacturer. It includes end-of-life information, which is absolutely critical to be able to not only do budgeting, but also cybersecurity. And Windows compatibility information, power consumption information, obsolescence information. So it's this type of information where we can leverage the existing assets that the government has already invested in, roll it up, and provide actionable information, which drives efforts like FITARA.
So if you go to bdna.com, and you can click to Technopedia from there, and I guess you can just go there and just ask questions and learn information about the systems that you have.
There's actually a scroll, kind of a ticker on our website that lists the end-of-life information. It's actually something we even can be downloaded for free, because we want to share that information with folks.
Sounds like you want to be the Wikipedia of network information, which is beneficial to anyone. So if you're listening to this show and there's snow on the ground and you're thinking about basketball playoffs or something, you can go to bdna.com and just get information about your system. If you're reviewing a system and you find something, you kind of scratch your head going, well, I was once at a very large agency, and they told me they had a system that was running an operating system called B. And I said, well, B, what's that all about? Oh, it preceded C. And so they discovered that there in a small closet somewhere. But it's always interesting to know what we're talking about, so we can make decisions on what we have and then move on from there. So been around for how many years your company been around?
14 years.
14 years, 200 people. I don't think many people in this town have heard about you, but perhaps we can get the word out with this interview and the articles you've written. So we have people all over town. They're project managers. They're trying to consolidate data centers. I would think if you want to consolidate a data center, you have to figure what's in your current data center before you start unplugging cables. That would be an obvious use of your tools first, isn't it?
Yeah, you can't manage what you don't know.
Oh, and I moved in March of this year. We lived in the same house for 30 years. The kids all left, and so I didn't know it was in the basement. I didn't care it was in the basement. There was stuff there. And the movers came in, and they all had their little iPads, and they did a summary of what was in, did an inventory was in the basement. So we threw out a bunch of junk. And I think that's what happens with data center consolidation. You got to find out what's on your data center. And if there's 7,000 federal data centers and Tony Scott is pounding on the table saying you're going to be evaluated by reducing the number there, you have to know exactly what you have, because you could unplug something that has legal implications. And so you have to be very careful about what you unplug these days, don't you?
Yes, you do. You need to have a better understanding which the mission-critical ones are, which ones are end-of-life, so those systems don't get hacked. And I can provide you some examples later on where we've seen those type of situations in the federal government.
So we're setting up this. We're kind of painting the picture here. And so we have agencies out there with wide-ranging data centers all over the place. They have applications all over the place. There's new apps coming in. There's IoT. There's big data. And Tony Scott says, okay, we're going to start giving you some grades on certain aspects of your system. Well, interesting. One aspect is data center consolidation. Well, isn't that interesting? So what he's come up with is something called FITARA, and that's what your article addresses, doesn't it?
Yes, and FITARA, it really encompasses a lot of rules that are already in place across the federal government, but kind of lacked the inertia behind them to be able to bring them to critical mass. And CIOs previously were held accountable by Congress, but didn't necessarily, in my opinion, have the responsibility to be able to have that accountability. So FITARA addresses that, and that is what Tony Scott is now trying to enforce across the federal government. And for the CIOs that want to be accountable, they will absolutely love it.
That is the question. So the report card came out, evaluated 24 agencies on 4 out of 7 aspects of FITARA, and tell us what happened.
Well, the government didn't do particularly well, but it was an interim report card, and Congress was actually fairly pleasant with their reviews on it, as it truly is for, well, again, my humble opinion, Congress actually trying to help out the federal government do things in ways that they typically don't do. But that interim report card, I would view it more as almost a pop quiz at this point, because the grades really don't matter. It's going to be more along the lines of the final exam, at least this year, which will be towards December, but it's an evolving process. There are still parts of FITARA that are coming out. It is still being interpreted a variety of different ways by a variety of different organizations. Steve Cooper at Department of Commerce, the CIO there yesterday at the Fed Scoop event, talked about how he's doing it, which is different than the way the Department of Transportation CIO Richard McKinney is approaching it. And it's going to vary by agency. But they're all going to be graded the same way with that report card.
Yeah, there weren't many A's in that, and there were a couple of
F's. There were none.
And, well, we have to be careful. And there were none. And it would not be at what we call a strong report card in my house, but we'll talk more about that after the break. Let's take a little break, come back, talk more about Vitara, and maybe go back to the future, go back in time, and talk about attempts in the past to make federal IT more efficient, what's happened with them, and why they succeeded, why they didn't succeed. Talk a little bit about Klinger-Cohen. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio is Clark Campbell, Vice President, Public Sector at BDNA. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Clark Campbell, Vice President, Public Sector at BDNA. If you're trying to find out the DNA of your business or your enterprise, this would be a good place to start. More information at B as in boy, D as in dog, BDNA.com. I was there this morning. A bunch of white papers there. Huh? I guess every quarter there's a new white paper that comes out. This one's called The State of the Enterprise.
Well, the goal is always to share the information. BDNA has a unique situation that we deal with some of the large, most federated, politically security-conscious organizations, whether it be government or also commercially. And we try to share the lessons learned and best practices and things and trends that we're seeing across the industry.
But every quarter. I mean, comes out every 3 or 4 months, new stuff, because it changes so fast.
The IT industry is nonstop.
It's crazy where a lot of people would think that, hey, we finished our website, we can put our feet up on the table and smoke cigars. Well, guess what? It changes all the time. There's got to be new changes. There's Google changes 200 times a year, so you got to change your website depending on the search algorithm changes. And the government has to monitor their sites continuously, too, and that's one change that I've seen, continuous monitoring. Again, right in your real world, isn't it?
Yes, continuous monitoring has actually been a big boom for BDNA because while we're on actually half the continuous the CDM teams, continuous monitoring is forcing the government to do better security, and that's providing a lot more data that needs to be managed across their IT estate, and that is the business that is in. So whether it be the Big Fix, IBM Tivoli endpoints of the world, the Symantecs, whatever the security tools that may be being deployed, the ability to normalize that data and clean it up, provide end-of-life data, is really helping the CIO and CISO shops better understand how to proactively manage cybersecurity.
BDNA, go there and click on Technopedia, learn about all kinds of interesting facts about software application and apps. And the motto for your company is a simple four words, better data, better decisions. Pretty simple, nice and easy to remember. Compliance management's got to be somewhere in there too. I mean, wow, it's just this. It's a checklist of things that you have to find out. Compliance management's got to be a tool that you offer, I would think.
So whether it be from a FSMA or software license compliance, or just looking at things along the lines that every organization has approved, not approved software list. And that is an area that we excel in, being able to show organizations of your approved, not approved, or they call it TRM. This is what's deployed, this is what's not deployed. And what's always interesting, there's typically a third bucket. And the third bucket is, this is not on either list. So you need to figure out, is this particular software application or version something that you want on your network or not want on your network? So it's just about visibility.
If you're active on Twitter, it's at BDNA Corp. I read all the tweets in the last 2 days online this morning. A lot of action going on. There's a lot of stuff going on with this company. I think it's very interesting. I think it's important for many of my listeners to learn more about what they have before they can make decisions. I mean, what's that? Better data, better decisions. I mean, I'm feeding right into the tagline for the company. That's interesting. So 20 years ago, I was in grade school, and up on Capitol Hill, they produced something called the Klinger-Cohen. Tell us about this and what they're trying to accomplish back then.
Well, back then, they were trying to do many of the things they're trying to accomplish now with Vitara, but unfortunately, it didn't empower the CIOs quite the same way. It didn't have all the different components that are now in place, such as TechStat, PortfolioStat, FDCCI, and a variety of the other initiatives that Vitara rolls into it. And it probably didn't help that the people that put together Klinger-Cohen in Congress did not stick around much longer after that.
That happens in many large organizations, though. I've worked for the largest company in the world and the smallest company in the world. And when I was with Exxon, you know, you'd get someone who'd come in and he'd be a champion for something, and then it would fade away. He faded away. He left, or he got moved or promoted to a different area. And so I think this is just how human beings operate. If someone has an idea for change, there's going to be a big resistance to change. And then if someone doesn't promote it aggressively, it's going to fade away. And I think some of the objectives for Klinger-Cohen were noble, and they didn't get continued, did they?
It lacked enforcement and accountability at the time. And that's what Tony Scott's trying to fix with Vitara.
Okay, so 20 years back to the future. Here we are, 2015, 2016. Now we got some big dogs at the White House. We have a people at CIO, CTO positions at the White House, and they're trying to encourage efficient technology use. We also have automated tools that we couldn't dream of years ago.
Correct. And those automated tools, again, are supplying a ridiculous amount of IT data up through the CXO level shops. And the ability to try to mine that becomes a challenge. And that's the solution that BDNA solves. And it not only solves it within our software application, but it also allows it to be fed into your cybersecurity GRC tools, your enterprise architecture tools, your CMDBs, your ITSM solutions. So this is, goes back to your kind of better data, better decisions. BDNA, we don't care what data you feed us, and we don't care where you put it. Our goal is to simply clean it up. A lot of people just consider us the BASF. We don't make anything. We just make it better.
I got a coffee on the way in this morning, and I saw people in this little coffee place. They had their computers on, and they had cell phones on. Some had tablets. Thinking about all these IT devices and addresses, and a lot of agencies have this flood of information, Internet of Things, bringing in all kinds of information. And this brings rise to the kind of a fuzzy topic called shadow IT, and who's on the network, why are they there, what are they doing? So what is shadow IT, and what's this got to do with the Clean and Cohen Act and the new transparency, the FITARA?
Well, a lot of people just think shadow IT is sometimes just the stuff that's hidden away beneath a person's desk or in a closet somewhere. The reality is the shadow IT at a much larger scale is the IT that is being spent on programs or projects that are not necessarily seen as part of the IT budget and definitely should be. Yesterday at the Affirm event, GAO's David Powner talked about the fact that as they continue to get better information on the IT, he actually expects the IT spending in the federal government to go up, because they're simply going to have more transparency of things exactly like shadow IT.
I always look for parallels between large enterprises, the federal government, commercial, nonprofit. And if you look at what Tony Scott says, he says that up to 80% of the budget goes to maintaining existing older systems. You think that's true in the enterprise world outside the government?
Yes, that is a challenge that even commercial organizations have.
Yeah, I've seen that in nonprofits as well. So I think it's just typically human. In fact, what Tony Scott says is that the Social Security Administration has some 30-year-old hardware. So can I assume that some of the tools you provide go back into that old stuff?
Without a doubt, providing the visibility into that. Now, Social Security's probably got a little bit older stuff, maybe them and DOD, but we find things all the time that are end of life, and the challenge is even things that are end of life by 1 month becomes part of an attack surface that hackers would like to expose and compromise.
I was speaking to a bunch of project managers last month, and they talk about the SDLC, the Software Development Lifecycle, mm-hmm. and they write the first line of code saying, okay, we have pretty much idea what's going to happen here. I don't think there is any kind of hardware development lifecycle. There isn't a network development lifecycle I can think of unless it's enterprise architecture, which I think was brought in by Clinger Cohen.
Well, it'd be more probably the operating systems that are installed on those hardware assets, that eventually those hardware assets can't be upgraded to the latest version of the operating systems, and they become, again, a potential part of the attack surface.
In marketing, I always counsel companies to put up a website and say what they don't do. And what that does is that eliminates a lot of wasted time with organizations trying to come up with projects or initiatives that they don't have the tools to handle. So what does BDNA limit itself to? Is it certain topics, certain operating systems, something that's not Apple-centric? What are you limited to or you exclude within your offerings?
So we are comprehensive across all the different CDM, security, configuration, patch management tools. We actually have pre-built extractors for over 50 of the top commercial tools in this space, and we continue to develop new ones all the time. And we've built interfaces to the enterprise architecture, the ITSM solutions. So what BDNA does is we're fairly comprehensive in the ecosystem we play in. What we don't do is we can't tell people what to do with the data.
Oh, so you can say, well, if I own that car, I'd replace it. And we're going to walk away.
Yes. So it is people taking a look at the data and determining what initiatives. Because I assure you, when you look at the amount of data, where do you want to start? How do you decide what initiatives that you wish to execute or prosecute immediately? And this is one of the reasons we love the new CIOs when they get into place, or new CISOs. And this is why we love FITARA, which in many ways empowers even longtime CIOs as new CIOs based on the responsibilities they now have. Because they're going to be coming up with initiatives, whether it be shared services, data center consolidation, application rationalization, that require them to understand what initiatives are destined to fail before they even start.
Pre-built extractors sounds like something from a dentist's office, but I'm not going to talk about pre-built extractors anymore in this. That's kind of shocking. Let's take a break, come back, talk more about Klinger Cohen and Fatara and some of the challenges that my listeners have and some of the tools that this company can provide, BDNA. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Clark Campbell, Vice President, Public Sector at BDNA. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Clark Campbell, Vice President, Public Sector at BDNA, talking about tools, talking about software that can help you just get a better idea, maybe a pulse, maybe an idea what your network is comprised of, because there may be some people from high levels trying to encourage you to move to the cloud, shared first, and possibly reducing the number of data centers. I think I've hit on three or four of the seven topics for Fatara. Talking about Fatara today, talking about tools. Tell me about Technopedia again. We talked about it earlier in the show, but maybe some of the listeners now haven't heard. Tell me about Technopedia and why my folks should even know about it.
It's the world's largest IT catalog. Again, it compromises over 1.2 hardware and software products. About 40% of that's even open source, because you obviously want to track that. And it has market data points of over 50-some million that we actually do 2,000 updates of market data points on a daily basis. We have a team of 50 people that continue to update that catalog. And when I say it's the most comprehensive, we have numerous partners in our space, enterprise architecture tools, ITSM solutions, that actually have built partnerships or OEM that catalog, because simply the effort to be able to build something so comprehensive is sometimes a bridge too far.
It's free. Is that right?
No, it's not free, John.
I don't know anything about Technopedia. Tell me, how much does it cost?
We are a for-profit company, sir.
Well, tell me about Technopedia. How does it work then?
So the Technopedia is broken into content packs. Whether you're looking at support information, pricing information, Windows compatibility, you choose which content packs that you want. Some people need them all. Some people are focused on their mission. And that data is then aligned into normalized IT data, leveraging those CDM tools that are already out there. And that data could be viewed through our analytical interface or fed into, again, the enterprise architecture, ITSM, CMDB, cybersecurity solutions.
So that's the enterprise architects would be take advantage of that. They'd figure exactly what characteristics they needed and tap in what part of Technopedia they want. I guess it's a subscription. Is that what it is then?
It can be a subscription or a perpetual license. We let our customers choose how they wish to spend their constrained budget dollars.
Okay. Didn't know that. I'm glad we got that cleared up. I was under a different impression earlier in the show. Compliance management, Fatara, we talked about Klinger Cohen. 20 years ago, they tried to make some inroads in making the federal IT a little more efficient. Fatara is coming up this. So there's been one preliminary grade set. When's the next one due?
At the end of December will be the next report card, because this was only an interim one. And it will be interesting to see how this continues to evolve as they add in additional potential responsibilities or items to be able to grade in the catalog, or sorry, the scorecard.
So there's 24 agencies. How many going to have to report? Is that all of them, or is there more than
all that? All of them. Apparently, according to Tony Scott, for an interview I heard on Federal News Radio about a week ago, some of them are looking for waivers, and Tony seems to be a smart enough man that he wants to eliminate the waiver process.
I have a friend who works for FDIC, and he tells me, well, it's an unusual type of an agency. It's not a typical agency. And I think just about all the agencies aren't typical. They're kind of structured differently. They have different kind of requirements. We were talking in the break about the differences between EPA and DOE. And so it seems like this Fatara is going to impact different agencies in a completely different manner, isn't it?
Yes. Every organization does think it's somewhat its own unique snowflake, and rightfully so in many ways. Given that Fatara is truly a one-size-fits-all approach, it'll be interesting to see the political impact it has in different organizations. The federated organizations such as an EPA or DOE, they'll be interesting to see how they handle it. Organizations that, like a Department of Justice or Department of Transportation, where you have either an FBI or an FAA, it's kind of sometimes the tail that wags the dog. It'll be interesting to see how Fatara is implemented there. And then you have things like Department of State or, God forbid, the DOD with extremely large sub-organizations under a CIO and trying to figure out how they work. So it'll be interesting for the political clout of the CIO in these different organizations and how they leverage it. And some might fare better than others. It will be interesting to see in the scorecard going forward.
There are an estimated 250 designated titles that include CIO in the federal government. And one of the focuses of Fatara is to boil that down. Good, bad? What do you think?
I think it's good. And without a doubt, I'll actually point out an example. So USDA, under the leadership of Jonathan Albom and Joyce Hunter, actually just released from their whole C-level shop their FITARA guidance on November the 14th, which is a 25-page document, which is very much a good guideline that I would suggest, given the challenges that USDA has with 29 agencies beneath them, as a potential guideline. Not that I'm encouraging plagiarism, but you may want to peruse it.
Yeah, I think that's interesting, but my guess is that there are people listening to this that their goal in life is to have a CAO behind their name, so it just looks better, I guess, in their federal resume. I would think this is going to step on some toes if people from the White House are discouraging the number of CIOs. It's like reducing the number of official titles or implied expertise.
So they'll probably be coming up with a new designation for what used to be some of these bureau or agency CIOs. But yes, it will have a an impact on some people's ego. But the reality is people don't like change, and change is definitely happening through Tony Scott in Congress.
It just dawned on me that, you know, in banks, everyone's a vice president.
You can't swing a dead cat without hitting one.
Yeah, the vice president. And I have students who are in their late 20s, and they're all their first job is a senior manager. I'm always interested in these titles. And the title of CIO may change over the years to reflect more exactly what they do, what they don't do. Do you think these grades are going to stigmatize careers in the federal government? People get bad grades, not going to get promoted, or they're going to see? No, it's just an indication, not really a grade.
So going back to the aforementioned event, the Affirm thing that I attended yesterday, Department of Transportation CIO Richard McKinney talked about it. And as we all know, he didn't necessarily get the greatest grades. But his view was that Congress is actually working with him. Jerry Connolly's group talked about the bipartisan effort at Congress, of which they're just trying to make the government better. They're trying to modernize the government. They're trying to reduce the IT spend. They're trying to optimize it. And at this point, Congress seems to be collaborating with the individual departments and agencies to be able to achieve that. So at this point, there is actually no stigma with the interim report card whatsoever. Again, it was a pop quiz.
Pop quiz. I have heard reports that numbers are being given to GAO and OMB, different numbers. Have you heard those rumors?
David Powner yesterday alluded to that the numbers are kind of all over the map. And as they continue to enforce transparency, it will evolve. And part of the other challenge with FITARA right now, and David Powner talked about this yesterday, is the challenge of self-assessments. Some people are grading themselves on a curve at this point, and as it continues to be evaluated over time, those self-assessments will be a little bit less of self-assessments and actually accurate assessments.
I guess the assessment will be whether cost gets reduced, whether the vulnerabilities are eliminated or reduced, and we'll see what kind of attacks take place. Just out of curiosity, so is there a longer-term plan for FITARA? I mean, is someone like Jerry Connolly going to put that in his plate and say, look, I'm in a very safe district. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to make sure this FITARA goes through in the next 10 years.
So Jerry Connolly said he's going to be there forever. He's 65 years old at this point. So I don't know what the definition of forever, but he is in a rock-solid district. It will be interesting to see what happens with the election year. It will be interesting to see, is Tony Scott here for the short term or the long term? So there are a lot of things that could impact it. There is, of course, just the skepticism that things like Clinger Cohn and a variety of other things in the past were good ideas but failed. So depending on how much Congress and Tony Scott or whoever will maybe eventually replace him decide to actually enforce it.
When you try to classify things, there's a lot of acronyms that are tossed around, thrown around. ITSM, I guess, IT Service Management, would be maybe a category that they'd try to put BDNA in. Is that right?
We get put in a lot of categories because people don't know where to put the idea of normalized IT data. But ITSM is a common use case where they would take that, again, that CDM, that asset discovery data that would be normalized and enriched with us to be feeding it into an ITSM solution like a BMC Remedy or a ServiceNow.
So that's the purpose of Technopedia, is to make sure that the ITSM, that the services are up to date and known what the services are because they're changing so quickly.
All of those solutions do better with better data.
It would make sense. Now, I'm kind of putting the pieces of the puzzle together. So you have a database of current information, and that can be funneled into people looking at decisions for enterprise architecture, especially if they're moving to the cloud, moving to shared services, or reducing the number of data centers. I can see why it's called ITSM, but it's kind of a – it's a hard classification, you know. Is it improving ROI, yeah. So it's almost like it's a business intelligence. It could be a business intelligence tool, couldn't it? It's just amazing. I don't know how to classify it either.
It can be interpreted in a variety of different ways. If you ask 10 different people, you'd probably get 10 different definitions.
Yeah, I think I may use a business intelligence for managing assets, something like that. Let's take a break, get back, talk more about Fatara and what's going on and what is its future. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. In the studio, Clark Campbell, Vice President, Public Sector at BDNA.
Hi, I'm Jared Serbu, the host of Federal News Radio's On DoD. Join me each week for a close-up view of the Defense Department from the management perspective. We examine the department from every angle with interviews with top brass and industry experts. It's reliable information from the people in the know. That's On DoD, every Wednesday at 11 o'clock and 2 o'clock Eastern on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, or download it anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Search On DoD.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. In the studio, Clark Campbell, Vice President, Public Sector at BDNA. Surprise, surprise. For more information, you can go to bdna.com. It's a pretty big size company that I think it's popular in the enterprise world. Not many people in town know about BDNA. It assists my listeners with trying to figure out what they have and enable them to make decisions, maybe to comply with initiatives like Fatara. I think it's a good application for that. Are there blogs that you can recommend, Clark, for my listeners to read to keep up with some of these topics?
At BDNA Corp, and also the president of our company, at Walker White, who's the smartest man in the room, regardless of the size of the room, and is extremely humble about it. So those are two Twitter accounts that I would follow. And then from a blog standpoint on www.bdna.com, there's a section you can click on the blogs and track that.
Walker White, that's his Twitter handle.
Yes, sir.
I have to start following him, see what he has to say. You know, whenever I have people in the studio and I'm talking to people at events, they always come up to me and they go, hey, you know that Vivek Kundra, now what kind of a phone did he have? And so I've come up with a scientific 10-question test to find out if Clark is or is not a card-carrying nerd. And we're going to ask you the 10 questions right now, young man. Number one, do you have an Instagram account?
No.
How many cell phones have you purchased for yourself in the last year?
Zero.
No nerd point so far. Do you have a personal Twitter feed?
No.
You're not a nerd, buddy. Have you ever used Meerkat or Periscope?
No.
Your marketing department should know about that. What kind of smartphone do you have?
iPhone.
An iPhone. What's the most popular app on that in the last 30 days?
Waze, because it got me here.
Waze, not a bad one. So we break into your house. How many tablets do we find floating around your house?
Two.
Just two. When was your most recent post in a social networking site?
Last night, before this radio interview on my LinkedIn account.
I don't see it. When's your Apple Watch due? Did you order one?
Can't say I have one.
You don't have a $17,000 Apple Watch?
No.
Maybe that's just for people in San Francisco to walk around with those fancy watches, huh? And the last book you read was electronic or paper?
Paper. I failed.
You're not much of a nerd, my friend. You're a nerd wannabe. You're not even close. You got to get up to maybe get a beard, maybe some tattoos, you know, walk around with cameras and record yourself.
Some hipster glasses?
Hipster glasses would be appropriate.
Got it.
I'm sure there's neighborhoods in San Francisco you can. No, Portland, Oregon. That's where you go for the hipster glasses, something like that. I deal a lot in the commercial world, and I keep thinking that if I applied for a job at ABC Company and they hired me as a CIO, I'd walk in the door there and I'd want to know what the heck's going on, who was there before me, what problems they had, what they're trying to solve. And I'd want to know what tools I had on the shelf, where my servers are, what the status, the state of the enterprise, the state of my system. And so I guess that summarizes some of the product offerings that BDNA have. Is that right?
That's correct. And again, on the commercial side, we have large commercial clients such as an Oracle, an SAP, a Wells Fargo, Verizon, JP Morgan Chase, that all reflect similarly large, federated, security-conscious organizations that we see across the federal government.
When we talk about the federal government for Tara, we put it in perspective, in historical perspective, from 20 years ago to today. So what do you think is going to happen 5-10 years with Fatara? We can look back and say, hey, that Fatara was a pretty good idea, kind of fizzled out after the last cyber attack from who knows where. Where do you think it's going to head the next 5-10 years?
I think Fatara's got a lot more inertia behind it than previous attempts, and because partly it combined a lot of the FDCCI data center consolidation efforts, a lot of the portfolio stat, tech stat efforts. They were all kind of one-off and could be dealt with by themselves. So given that Congress is actually cooperating with the federal government, and they're not trying to abuse them at this point, they're simply trying to get better information and better transparency to be able to modernize the government and take out costs. So at this point, a lot, again, will depend on the election and how much time Tony Scott or his successor will spend on this. But I'm cautiously optimistic on this.
Let's go back to my move. So three kids, bunch of stuff in the basement, you know, soccer and all kinds of bicycles and whatnot. And I kind of, you know, it was nice to know it was in the basement in general, but I didn't need to know. I kind of knew I had junk down there. I didn't ever want to think about it. But when I moved, I really, really had to know because they were going to charge me by the pound. And they were estimating how much was in my basement, and the garage and the attic and everything else. And I think the people who manage large systems, enterprise systems, they were in that situation. The federal government was might have been nice to know all the data centers. But guess what? Now you're getting evaluated on, isn't it? So you really have to know.
So it's not just having an inventory to say how many servers I have or how many software applications. It's being able to have actionable information on that. So is this particular software application, is it Windows 7, Windows 8, Windows 10 compatibility? What is the end of life? Is it free or not free? Is it open source? Who is the current manufacturer? What type of two-tier taxonomy does it fall into? If it's a collaboration tool, what type of collaboration tool? And all that is information that the CDM tools don't provide, of which our Technopedia does provide. So that is the value add that we give, because one thing is to do a FISMA inventory. Another thing is actually get actionable information to do proactive cybersecurity and strategic sourcing.
In January of 2016, Georgetown University is going to have a Hoya hackathon. And there is a data palooza coming up with more people writing apps and come. I mean, there's just so many apps out there. I mean, if you managing the physical assets of a large agency is difficult, but managing the software assets, number of apps out there, and everyone using them differently, and portable devices, they ask you those silly questions about your smartphone, but you may have an app on there that would be important for the architect to know who you walk into an agency. The concept of open source and apps, this has to make this whole problem much more difficult than it was 5 years ago.
Without a doubt, and the whole concept of BYOD is also driving that. So just to get for a CIO to get their hands on an IT estate is becoming more and more complex, and that is what FITAR is hopefully trying to address.
When it comes to enterprise architecture, are there organizations or maybe blogs that one can read to when I start thinking about enterprise architecture, I'm thinking of charts and confusion. It gets very difficult for me to understand all that. Is there an easy place someone can go to learn more about, you know, what ITSM is and the whole idea of enterprise architecture that you can recommend for my listeners?
Well, in www.bdna.com, we list some of the use cases, enterprise architecture being one of them, ITSM being some of them. All of those solutions, again, do better with better IT data. And those solutions, you kind of need the as-is estate before you start figuring out the to-be. So you need to know what you have, because you cannot manage what you don't know.
I'm helping a medium-sized company put together a website, and I'm talking to the executives there about web crawlers and what Google does and looks for SEO words and keyword analysis. It sounds like you have a spider. Is that the technology? Is that what it is, similar to Google?
It is leveraging the technologies that are gathering that IT data across those networks. So we luckily don't have to go through those extensive security reviews. The big fixes of the world, the semantics of the world, the McAfees of the world are already pulling that data. We simply need to tap into those repositories and leverage that existing data. So it's a much quicker process. We have customers that go production across the largest of enterprises in a matter of days because of that.
What about encryption? Where does that fit in?
Encryption, it fits in from the standpoint that we make sure our software is encrypted. Short of that, that's not really something that fits our space.
Yeah, but if information about a network is encrypted, would that limit your ability to collect it?
No, because we can still tap in to the repositories.
And so It seems like you're covering many, many areas. I'm trying to think of you from a listener's perspective. And I'm going, okay, what if this? What about this? What about that? What about mobile? What about encryption? What about different types of operating systems? I mean, why would a company like Oracle or Microsoft give you information about different versions that they have? I imagine it would be their benefit as well. I'm just trying to, from a logical perspective. You know, if I'm working for Microsoft, why should I help the people at BDNA and tell them about the different products we have offered?
The information's publicly available. We don't have to ask them for help.
Now we're uncovering some ideas here.
That's what the team of 50 people is all about. The public information allows us to be able to get that into life information, get the compatibility information, to get major version, minor version, two-tier taxonomy information, the end of life. That is the information that's out there. You just need a process to be able to gather it, and that's what BDNA has done for the last 14 years.
Is open source going to be a hindrance or a help in this process in the next 5 years?
It doesn't matter to us. In our catalog, 40% of the information that we have in there is on open source products.
I'm trying to find a weakness in you, buddy. Where's the weakness?
Again, the challenge is we're really good at leading the horse to water. We get plenty of data. It's what you decide to do with it. So it depends on the initiatives that were brought in. Sometimes it's by the CISO. Sometimes it's by the CTO, enterprise architecture, ITSM, the CIO. It just varies. And then really it's just politics that get in my way. Technology does not really stop us.
Sounds good. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guest, Clark Campbell, Vice President, Public Sector at BDNA. Thanks, Clark.
Thank you, sir.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Electromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.